Blog Talk Radio.
Show. Suicide is not the answer in the house.
And Beverly, this is a pleasure for me to be here.
You know what? I'm so glad that you and I locked arm in arm for this advocacy. It is so very important. Suicide is not the answer, and it is moderated by myself, Beverly Black. I am a sibling suicide survivor, and my co-host, Kendi Andre, he is a life coach, a photographer, and a radio show personality. He is an overcomer, and he is a mentor. And we are about to hear a conversation man to man. The topic, again, we're addressing is suicide rate in the Black community as we continue with our special guest, Mr. Jerome Sanders. Now, if you're listening through the internet, you can feel free to call 347-539 5285, and I do see some callers holding. And if you're online and you want to connect with us, blogtalkradio.com/ gumbo for the soul. And I meant to say, if you're listening online, call 347. And if you're listening and you want to switch over to online, call the blog talk radio or log on to blogtalkradio.com/ gumbo for the soul. I'm just too excited because I can't wait for our guest to talk to us. So let me introduce him, Kendi, and then I'm going to bring him on. And Kendi, I know you're going to be shouting out that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, so I'm going to turn the mic over to you. Let me just read our special guest bio. Mr. Jerome Sanders has overcome lots of struggles and adversity in his life, which has become his ministry towards helping others as an ambassador of adversity. He grew up being taunted, bullied, and mocked, all while placed in a classroom deemed for people with learning disabilities. But guess what? He wasn't buying that foolishness. He would not be defined by that foolishness of others. So he became an educator, and now through deliberate strategies, he helps others think on the same level of overcoming any obstacle they may be faced with. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suicide is Not the Answer by Beverly Black and Kendi Andre on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. And I give to you Mr. Kendi Andre and Mr. Jerome Sanders. Enjoy the show.
Right, again, this is Andre, your friend, and this is an honor for us to have Jerome Sanders on our platform tonight. And we really appreciate the fact that he had the willingness to share his experience with us. And I have to tell you, according to the raise of the rate of suicide in our community, we have, let's say, as advocates for support, you know, suicide, and our voice, we need to use it so the community can listen to us. And anybody who has a suicidal mind and knows someone that tried to commit suicide, who even gives the signs of committing suicide, that we try to lead them to avoid doing it or to tell others not to do it, because suicide is not the answer. Life is beautiful. People say that life is unfair, but if we think about this statement, it is unfair because we think it's unfair. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to work? Why do you have goals? Why do you have dreams? It's all because you have a purpose. It's all because you have a goal in life. So, Jerome, welcome to our platform, and I'm not going to talk about you. You're going to introduce yourself to our auditors, to all the people listening on Facebook, on the Internet, and I give you Jerome Sanders. Welcome, Jerome.
Thank you, Kenzie. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. Again, my name is Jerome Sanders. I'm calling out of upstate New York. It's just so thankful to be a guest on this show on today and give you some nuggets that you can take on your daily routine. and being successful in your life. Man, whew. Go ahead.
Sorry. So the first line I read is that you have overcome lots of struggle and adversity in your life. Can you tell us, first, who is Jerome Sanders? Where you grew up, family, you know that. Tell us this part. And second, tell us about these struggles that you had overcome.
I was in a family of four. It was just me, my brothers, two brothers, and my mother. I didn't have a father figure, and I was, we were on fixed income, and my mother, she did what she did to make ends meet. And during my growing up, it was difficult because I was labeled as mental retarded. So that put a mindset in my, put something in my mind where I was separated myself from everybody around me, where it caused me to be, self-insufficient, where I didn't believe in nothing. So I put myself in a shell. And as I got older, I became, recognized who I was. And by that, I learned that it's not what they laid me at, it's what I answered to. I think I was 10, when my mother realized something was ailing with me. And I wasn't sitting proper, I wasn't talking proper. And she said, something wrong with my baby. I need to check and see what's wrong with her. And when that hit her, it hit me at the moment, because I didn't know what exactly was going on. But as I got to go through with life, as I was going to my elementary schools, and I was in this small group of class, I just didn't see me as a normal person.
Okay. So this is one thing. Why I ask you the question is because you believe, I mean, at a certain moment in your life, you thought that these people who told you that you were retarded, I'm going to say it like that, you believed that they weren't right. At a certain time, you thought it was that. You didn't believe in anything. But how did it happen to you? What was the sign that you received or that made you, let's say, make that 360? Because normally what I can read in your story is the fact that you've been bullied in school, you've been mocked in classrooms and deemed for people with, like, you learn disability. And this reminds me of a story I heard, a motivational video on YouTube I heard about Les Brown. I think at a certain moment in his age, they sent him in a class where the teacher tried to ask him to do something on the board. Then he said that he can't. Then the teacher said that, why you can't? And then he said, because they said that I'm mentally retarded, you know? So he believed in what people were saying. But the teacher, it's like we all need that push in life. You know, the push could be someone who just give us a message. That could be in church when you go, you know, the prayer while you're praying, and there's a message that could be addressed to you directly. So the teacher said to Les Brown that never, never underestimate yourself. And I think this is what you reminded me of with your story, because as an ambassador of adversity, people might not see it as I'm not going to say it's a position, but this is a commitment that you have. According to all these challenges and struggles that you went through your life, and now you're using it to push others to their, let's say, not to their limit, but to their highest capacity. So, Jerome, these people who were mocking you, who were bullying you, do you know about do you, I mean, did you hear about them, or how do they see you now in your community?
Well, as of now, they see me as a go-getter. They see me as a person who overcome a lot of my adversity. They see me as a leader, as a role model. They don't just see me as what I was labeled as. They see me as a teacher. They see me as that, you know what I'm saying, somebody who have a story, who have a book that can be taught. And when people give me titles and stuff, I don't have to accept them. But people see things in me that I didn't see in myself. So that motivates me more to strive in my community to reach out and let people know my story.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful, Jerome. And I gotta tell you that again, that I really appreciate to have you on the show, because this is an example. You are an example that shows that people, they need to think. I know even kids can be doing it, because sometimes kids, they bully others, but they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they could cause. But this is a message to encourage all the parents who the principal called a school to tell them that their kids is bullying others, you know, who's been kids that don't respect others. And then I'm encouraging these parents to start teaching their kids at home to respect each other, because you never know. This is life. And this is something I've always said. Things just happen for a reason. Maybe, I remember one day at my church, the pastor was saying that God will put you in situations, he will put you in challenges so he can test you. You know, and once you reach out your point of inability, it will just come and pull you out. It's like it will just give you a push and give you and show you the way, where to go. But for him to do this, he needs to see that you have the willingness, that you really need to move forward and get yourself out of that situation. So I got to tell you, Jerome, you are a role model, and I always say that to my friends. I always say that to people who reach out to me for advice or maybe mentorship. I always tell them that you need to conduct your life in a way that your kids or the youngest one or the one who are following us, they see us as role models. Role models doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a superstar or you're going to be in Hollywood or, you know, one of the superstars on the internet or on the media. You need to lead your life. You need to conduct your life. Let's say for managers, we say lead by example. So this is not only in the professional area. It's not only in being a team leader of a group. In everything that we're doing in life, someone is watching us. Someone is observing us, and someone is trying to learn from what we're doing. So always lead by example and always try to be role models. So bullying, people don't know that. There are different types of bullying. It might be in school. It might be at work. It might be at your home. It might be in the community where you live. You know, there is different types of bullying. And normally, I gotta ask you that question. Have you ever been bullied in a workplace in the past 10 years?
Well, in that sense, in bullying, not as in a area where somebody's trying to beat on me or whatever like that, but I would bully at like trying to be forced in doing something that I know wasn't right.
Okay. Because normally I came to the point, because we're talking about bullying. Because bullying is not only being a child. It's like it doesn't happen only when you've been in a childhood, when you have certain handicap or anything. But bullying also happens in the workplace. It might happen by having employees or they falsely accusing the target, because that's how they see you. They see you as a target. They falsely accusing you of making errors. They're using nonverbal intimidation tactics, such as glaring or silent treatment. You know, continually changing the rules of all metrics for success. It's like they keep you on one level. They make you think that you can't do anything, that you can't work. They're constantly criticizing you and refusing to acknowledge the quality of your work. You know, starting with malicious rumors about you, isolating you even from other workers, because they are managers. They don't know how to deal with people. You know, and if you are a manager, if you are a director or anything, if you are a leader, you need to know what equality means, you know? So just because they don't like you, just because they don't like the style, just because they don't like your head, so they just decide to isolate you from others. Then they start yelling at you publicly, humiliating you, stealing, you know, the credit for the work done, and also making unreasonable demands to you, you know. So people don't know. I mean, usually people don't really know that these things, they happen in the workplace. They don't see them like that, because I got to say that I've been through this back in my experience in human resources. It's like I've been working in different fields. Back in my country, I gotta say, at first, I didn't introduce myself to our auditors. My name is Andre, and I've been raised by I was raised in a family of educators, and I have been a teacher by myself. Myself, back in the days, I had experience in the medical technology. I also worked as an administrator, and I've been a PC consultant at a certain time. It means I touched you everything back in the days. But people thought that I didn't know what I want. You know, they thought I didn't know what I want. But my plan was, because you are the only one who knows your goals. You are the only one who knows what you're doing, you know. So my goal was to use all these fields of activities and put them in ones where the common point with all of them was to work with people. So that's what led me to be a human resources professional at a certain time in my life. But starting as a human resources clerk and starting as a translator was pretty very hard for me, because that was my first time in an office area. So I didn't know the processes, I didn't know the system how it was. So sometimes when you're making some mistakes, I had managers, I even had colleagues smiling or laughing at my mistakes instead of just showing me what to do. But the fact that, let's say, the wisdom I usually had in let's say, the humility I had to learn, this totally changed the situation. So that makes that today the colleagues I had who were laughing at my work, now they're congratulating me because I ended up to be a human resources officer. It's like I was almost handling the position of the manager at the department. So bullying is not only at school, it's not only in the community, it's not only in the household, I would say in the household too, because sometimes you're living with cousins, you have your brothers bullying you and all that. It is also on the workplace. And Jerome, my question to you now, because one of the things when you said that you totally forget who you were, did this only happen in school where you were being bullied, or about your experience in terms of relationship? Do you think that this is one of the things that could cause suicide, and why do you think that?
Yeah. Because when you don't know who you are, you become blindfolded with life.
Yes, totally.
You know what I mean? And when you are blindfolded, you can't see where you're going. And this what a lot of young people have been mindful, because they don't know who they self being is. They only know what they were taught or what they were shown in the home, but they don't know who they really self are, because they had not what have taught to value they self.
Yes, sure.
And that's what we in this black community where we are lacking, because we so used to history, but not in history and self being.
Yeah, true.
And true. So what I realized is not only that what my mother taught me, I had to also do my research and my belief. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
My belief in God. I had to find out who my what my self being is. Who am I? I had to find who I was. Not what the state labeled me as. Not what people call me in the streets, but who my creator say I am. That's when I realized that suicide or bullying is not the answer. I knew that my life is better than what others see in me or what the label, what they later be as. I knew that who I was by my creator. And when I got a relationship with him and I realized that he was the father for me, I knew that he was a friend that I never had. He is that one. And that's how I became who I am today. But
sure,
fascinating
sure.
For me.
Respect for that. Respect for that. Really appreciate that. I really appreciate your story. And I got to tell you, just give me chills now, because you remind me of so many things that I've been through in my own life. You know, I got to tell you that back in the days before my transition to the United States, I got to say that I was a go-getter at a certain time. Okay, I've been going through depression because of my first divorce. And, you know, I had a kid. I couldn't live with my kid. All this, they kind of affect me. So that made me a workaholic at a certain time. So being a workaholic, I'm trying to see if I can forget the situation and forget how it affects me. And going to the club all the time, you know, getting the girls and all of that, you know. So at a certain moment in my life, I'm like, when I came here and I've accepted to go in a relationship with someone, because I'm like, you know what, I got to put an end to that chapter, so I need to start over. So this is where, let's say, that relationship taught me, that relationship taught me what the difference in loving someone and being attached to someone. Because normally you can think that you love someone, but you don't know that attachment that you are, how toxic it can be. You know, because you want the relationship, you, as you said, you just become blindfolded. You don't know what you're going, because this person, you can't live without her. You can't breathe without her. You know, you can't do anything without her. Because I was at a certain moment in my life where at work, I couldn't work, because I kept thinking about the problems that we've been having in the relationship. Of course, we both make mistakes in the relationship. But even if someone do something to you, even if someone hurts you, there is a certain level. If you need that person in your life, there is what we call compromise. Okay, you did this to me, and it hurt me a lot. So it's not, I can't promise you that I'm going to forgive you about it, but we have to work this out. But if you're trying to make worse to that person, you know, this anger, this mad, when you mad like that, when your heart become dark like that, it can take you to places that you can never come back from. It can take you to places where your anger will just block you. And people that you had in your life loved you, they will just walk out of your life. They will just leave you. So this is something that happened because I got to tell you that I really love that woman. So at a certain time, at a certain point in my life, the last time I asked her, I said, "Do you know that I love you?" That was my last question to her. And then she said that, "I don't know what you're talking about." That's when I realized, I'm like, why am I just wasting my time? Because this is not who I am. It's like the clock was, time was moving, and I was just stagnant. I wasn't moving. I had projects. All my projects were just all blocking the laptop. You know, they were all blocking my mind. I couldn't do anything. So this is when I realized I had to do something. So what I did, I left the house at a certain moment, and I came back to the house after a certain moment because I'm like, I got to keep myself out of the world. Like, I got to lock myself in for a certain time so I can be in a neutral position where I won't be lying to anyone. So I told her that, you know what, I'm coming back to the house, and I'm not coming back for the relationship because I know you don't want it anymore. So I'm just coming back because I need a neutral position. I'm not going to annoy you because I need to redirect myself. And this is where I started to see, let's say I took off the blind, this fold in my eyes, and then I started to see the dark sides that she had. And these dark sides, which is negativity, pushed me in a way to create my own world, which is the photography world, you know? So I started to take pictures. I started to, you know, listen to motivational videos. I took my workout sessions very seriously. I even started to go to church. And when I went to the church at the first time, I'm like, you know what, I have to come back to that church because the messages, they were really, the pastor was addressing me with the messages. And then here I am. So my mind and my willingness to move forward made me or give me this ability to convert or to use all the negativity that woman was bringing to my life. And I used it as a fuel and pushed me where I am now. So that's why I'm saying that your story reminds me of a lot because it's almost the same. Because there was a certain time that, let's say, I was bullied in that relationship. Because you have someone that is going out, you living with someone, and that person, out of respect, just go out at 4 a.m. in the morning when they're trying to call you, worrying about the time you're calling. That person was like, why are you calling me for? Why are you in my business? You know, it's like he's laughing at you and all this thing. So I went through all this. And at the end, as I told you, I thought about who I was before. I'm like, wait, I was this human resources professional. I was a human resources specialist, not because of the profession, but because of how I used to deal with people and how people used to see me. You're not going to leave your life because people see you a certain way, but I used to live my life a way that when people tell me that the same way that you told me, people are saying that, oh, you got so much potential in you, you know, that we would like you to teach us to do this, or we would like you to coach us, or we'd like to be our mentor. Or they come to ask you, how did you do this? Or how can we do this? So you became, I was a role model. So I'm like, why, if I did it once, I can do it again. And I can do it over and over, because normally failure is a teacher. You know, you're not going to fail purposely. Even if Will Smith, in his motivational video, saying that fail hard, fail, it doesn't mean that you have to fail purposely. Failure happens. Failure can occur in the plan that you have, in the goals that you have, you know, in the modus operandi that you have for a plan. But once it happens like that, that's when you learn, okay, I did this, I failed, this happened. Now, from this, I got to find a solution. So the next time you're going to try again, you won't make the same mistake, you know? So this is the connection that you and I, we have. And on the show, I got to tell you that I will send a shout-out to Walter Duke His name was Walter Splash. He was our guest before you, who is also he also trying to commit suicide at the same time in his life. You know, he was stuck in his life. Everything was dark. But today now, I just bought his CD last time. I mean, I think last month. I bought his CD last month, and this is a wonderful CD. It's like music became his new world. He created this new world of himself. And he's moving forward in positivity. It's like anything that is happening in your life that is negative, any challenges that you can have, that you can be fighting with, it's going to bring, you know, positivity will come out of it. And this is what you did. And I got to tell you that I really appreciate you for that, Jerome. You are a role model, and you are a noble person. This, we can say this, because I remember before the show we had a phone conversation. I gotta say this: you are a noble person, and the work you're doing as an ambassador of adversity. This is a very great thing, and I thank you again for being on the show. Now, Jerome, as an educator, what would be your message to teachers, let's say in general, to educators, because only teachers are not educators, parents are educators too, because they are the ones living with the kids, they are the ones showing us, you know, giving us directions in our household. So what would be your message to parents, to the parents?
All right. The message to the parents will be, take your time, Jerome. Take your time.
I know.
Oh, my God.
We all speaking from experience.
Right. It's not easy to parent children in this generation. But a message to the parent is you have to, when you're talking to the new generation, you have to find their heart and hear where their heart is going. Because a lot of the kids these days is so mind messed up where they see things in the world that they don't know how to come to their parents. They don't know how to go to their mother. They don't know how to go to their father because of what they see in the natural. They know they were taught to respect the other. They were taught to go to school and respect the teachers and listen and that. But the side of being fit in with the wrong crowd, how do we discern the right people? Because the people can look good, but their heart is not good. How do we teach them children to find in that? Well, first thing is, how is your house standing? Who you got around in your house? Are they positive role models? Are they comfy feeding good things? Or are they smoking around? Are they drinking? Or are they just sitting around you talking about nothing but old past lifestyle? Not good things, but old things. That's what keep our children away from us is what negative energy draw your children away. And not going, because they don't know how to say, Mama, I don't want to hear that. They know how to respect you or and stuff, but they don't know how to tell you that is not helping me because they don't want to hurt your feelings. So what they does, they go and in around in schools, or they go into the streets, and they go hang around the wrong people that make them feel comfortable. And that's why our houses are, it's not strong as it was in the 1900s, because our parent became friends with the children instead of being parents with them. This generation now is now more they own parents. Because now the older ones have passed on. And the little one that's in here ain't strong enough because of the people who that around them draining them out. It's just like in the church, the oil at the altar is not in there. When you stop praying, then you lost connection with the Father. And that's what the children is lacking. Father figures. How can I love somebody if I don't have the love in my home? Just because you buy for the children and make sure they got a shelter over their head or food on the table, and you buying them the expensive shoes, the newest outfit, doesn't mean that's love. That's not love. That's getting no pleasure. So by you getting no pleasure, now you're causing them to want that every moment. You're not teaching the world how to work for what you want. You can't get a teenager to go and just automatic go in the kitchen and take out the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got to be rewarded to do that. If you're not going in to pay me to take out the trash, I'm not going to do it. The trash will run over. The same dishes will be run over because the parent is their friends instead of being their parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take time and examine your child one by one. You might got 4 children, 5 kids in your house. You can't look at that one child and think that one child and think, what you teach that one child is going to happen to the other one. No. Each person is different. You can't teach the same children the same thing and expect the same results. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to examine the children one by one.
Yeah. This is a good message to the parents, and I really, I'll follow what you're saying by normally, children at a certain age, they need an open line in the family. I'll call it open line because there are situations that they are facing, or there are situations they're observing, let's say out of the household, that they don't understand because they got confusion. Sometimes they need your attention. These kids, they need your attention. And I got to tell you, when they in the, let's say, around 7 years old, 9 years old until 13 years old, they need that attention. And you have, even if they don't show you they need it, because normally their brain works faster than ours, you know? So they ask him thousands of questions in a minute, and they try to, like, a kid can ask you some questions, but they already have the answer, you know? So if they have the answer, why they come to you and ask a question? It's because there is the confusion. So us as parents, we need to keep this line open, not by buying stuff for them, going to the mall, or give them money to go to school, buying the last pair of Jordan or any type of material stuff. But they need the talk. They need to know that they are being listened, that they have someone who's listening to them and who is able or who will bring them answers to what they are observing. So at the first 7 years, and this is one of the things I read on the internet, a doctor called Mantak Kia. The first 7 years or the year, or the period of, like, where the kid is recording what is happening. You can see that a kid that parents, they have been divorced at a certain age, can show, a violent behavior at school, You know, they can hurt kids. They've been bullying others, and they've been calling their mothers in certain ways. They call their father, you know, I can't say how they call them. But their behavior becomes totally different because they don't understand what is happening. The kids go to the father's house, like they got shared custody. The kid go to the father's house, the father tells something to the kid that your mother did this, your mother did that. And when the kid come back to home, the mom is telling that your father did this, your father did that. But there is a way to make the kid understand that there are things that happen in relationships because marriage is a relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It might happen that two people, they don't have the same goals, they don't have the same dreams, you know. We're all different, yes, but we're not sharing the same goal, the same plan, so that's why we can live together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a way to, let's say, convey the message to the kid instead of avoiding, and not only conveying the message, but being there for them, being this open line where they can express their feelings, they can express what their thoughts, so they can better understand that situation that they are facing, you know. So your message is very powerful, Jerome, and I'm telling all the parents who are listening to that show to always create. I know some parents, they might be working 24/7. They don't have time. Your kid is grown up enough to take the bus to go to school, or they can do anything by themselves. But still, you are the parent, and you have to be the first role model for the kid. I'm not going to say the first role model in the house. You have to be the first role model before Jay-Z, before Beyonce, or before anybody, because some kids, because they don't have the parents and they don't have this father figure, they just drone themselves in hip-hop. You know, it's like, I got to do like that artist. I need that tattoo. I need to have that piercing. I need to do this. I need to do that. But they won't say, I'm not criticizing anybody who has a tattoo or piercing, because myself, I have a tattoo. But the kid will think about other stuff. If it's something that the kid wanna choose to make him forget or make him understand what is happening, it can't be drugs, it can't be piercing, it can't be the last Jordan, it can't be the material. You know? You as parent have to be available. You have to create this little moment, even if it's 5 minutes of your time. You wake up the kid early before you go to work, or at night when you come back from work, you're trying to wake them up, having a little conversation with a short, even if you're asking the kid, how was your day or how was your test, not just seeing the results on the paper, but ask to the kid, how was the test? Because kids, when they stress, you won't know. One thing I've noticed, do you know sometimes when kids are stressed, some of them, they eat a lot. You can see your kid eating like every type of thing. You go in the room and on the bed, you see crackers on the bed. You see, it's like it's all a mess with food on the bed, but you won't understand why. Sometimes the kids just, you know, they just kids. They will do that. But sometimes for them, their stress, this is a way for them to just forget it. They just
mm-hmm.
talk on the screen, watching stuff on YouTube and eating. And sometimes the social media, I'm not going to say that's what we call the cyberbullying. The danger in this that we don't have any control of. Our kids, they go on Facebook, they do all type of things, and we don't know anything about what they're doing, you know? This is what is dangerous, you know? So I learned an article on YouTube where they say that we need also to teach ourselves how to manage social media. And it's like, if my kid, if my daughter, like an example, if your daughter has what they call Snapchat, okay? I know
uh-huh.
this is kid stuff. I know this is, you know, this is not our generation. But I got to tell you, me, myself, I know everything about them. Because I always try to keep up with them. because kids, they can teach you stuff, and normally you have to be keeping up with them, because sometimes they will tell you, oh, you dumb. They will tell you that, you know, nowadays. They will go on Google, make some research and stuff, and come asking you questions. But if you weren't keeping up, if you don't know how to use Google, if you don't even know how to use Alexa, you know? So
mm-hmm.
you have to keep up with them, because this is a way for them to know that they are being watched. Oh, okay, I have an angel guardian. You know, that's how they will see us. So if they have a problem on using social media, if they have a problem in class, if a friend came to them and tell them to do this, they will know how they will know to tell their friend, no, I can't do this. This is wrong. And if the friend asks them, why you say it's wrong? Because my mother told me, or my father told me, this could happen if I do this. You know? So when kids, they don't have this, this can lead them to commit suicide. This can lead them to have the suicidal mind of hurting themselves or hurting others or even
mm-hmm.
bully others, you know? So this is very powerful, your message to the parents. And I got to say, anybody who's listened to the show, I got to tell you that we can't change people, but we can inspire them to do
right.
what's positive. We can inspire them to see life in another perspective. The 1-800-273-8255 for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I encourage you who thinking, anybody who's listening who think about committing suicide, anybody who needs help, to seek for help. And me, Beverly Black, and Jerome Sanders. Jerome, can you tell them where they can find you on social media? Because as an ambassador, of course, we're going to have people come in and ask for advice and even sharing their life experience with you or with us. Can you tell people where they can find you?
Yes, they can look me up on Facebook under Dream Team, facebook.com/DreamTeam1. We have a page over there. You can contact us. You can email us. You can post comments or request, whatever you may be on that page. It's Dream Team 1. You look it up on Facebook, and you can get in contact with us that way, and we'll be glad to set up anything to comfort or whatever you need for us.
Okay, good. My name is Kenzie Andre, and I'm a photographer. I have my photography page, Andre's K Photography, on Facebook. I have my website, andrekphotography.com, where you can go and see my work, even book a photo shoot. You can see I have my Instagram, which is Andre K Photography also. And I got to tell you, after the show, I try to do this. All what we have said, it's like, I got to tell you, Jerome, this connection, I got to say that is strong. There is a motivational video that I've edited and I've prepared for our listeners and anybody on Facebook. I'm going to post it on my page, A Warrior's Legacy. That's the name of the page, A Warrior's Legacy. And I'm going to post a video a few minutes after the show so you can think about this conversation, think about Jerome's experience, think about Walter's experience, and think about any guest that we had on the show who had a certain experience with suicide.
Amen, amen. And I want to thank both of you for being here, for being our guests, for your activism. The conversation was profound, enlightening, and people definitely will gravitate to the power in your message. And we're here to help people. And so I want to thank you for your time and your energy and all that you do to help people. Again, I'm Beverly Black. Kendi Andre, phenomenal job interviewing Mr. Jerome Sanders. And I have to apologize. I said Kendi Andre was a life coach, and I meant an educator. But to me, the work that you do, Kendi, is life coaching, because people need people that they can talk to that can relate to their issues and problems. And you'll find yourself mentoring and life coaching without the title, and so it was easy to say because I feel like people gravitate to you and what you're doing. So kudos to both of you and your ministries and helping others. And again, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline that can be told you, again, 1-800-273-8255. And you can contact me, Beverly. I'm at GumboForTheSoul.com, our parent company. I'm the publisher of Gumbo for the Soul series anthologies and the CEO, founder of Tribe Family Channel. Suicide is Not the Answer, hosted by Beverly Black and Kendi Andre, is a Tribe Family Channel family brand. And thank you once again for listening. We will be back May 14th, 2019. Same Tribe Family Channel, same Tribe Family time. Until then, be blessed and be a blessing, and happy holy days to you all that will be celebrating Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. This is a holy month for people that are honoring their faith through Christ Jesus. And so to that we say amen, amen, and good night.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Good night, all. And again, we want to remind our listeners to tune in to the next episode of Suicide is Not the Answer in May 2019. Take care. God bless.
God bless.
right.